As I share this morning, I want to invite you in to view this as a starting point. I by no means think that what I'm sharing this morning is it, that we have arrived and it's going to solve all our problems and away we go. But it's a starting point, and it's an invitation to go to a deeper place and enter into a conversation together. And I'm convinced that we need that. And I want to share this too. I'm also convinced that the fear of the Lord needs to come upon us. The fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, needs to come upon us. And we need to seriously consider before him what part he is calling us to play in his kingdom. And it's not just Mickey Mouse. There is revelation from heaven, and there are things for us to do, and it will require us coming together as the body of Christ, not just in Maranatha, but at large, to see the mission accomplished. So that's just a little precursor. Now, I'm going to be extremely repetitious today, to the point where you're tired of it, to the point where he said that before already. Why is he saying it again? I'm going to do a diagram, and then I'm going to say it again. And then I'm going to change the diagram, and I'm going to say it again. Because I believe this needs to go deeper. It's not that we haven't heard it. It needs to go deeper. And I believe the Holy Spirit can use all kinds of different things to open that up to us. Okay. Is that PowerPoint ready to go? F5, there we go. Have you ever heard this phrase? We're going through a time of transition. Anyone heard that? Yeah? A few times over the last few years? Yes? How does that make you feel when you hear that phrase? What's going on? Well, we're going through a time of transition. You can be honest. How does it make you feel? It sucks. Okay. Thank you for your honesty. What in the world does this mean? Well, oh, this is a little small, but hopefully those with good eyes can read. For you who don't, I will read for you. Transition is the process or a period of changing from one state or condition to another. The process or period of time of changing from one state to another. There's many mothers here. When we talk about transition, in the area of labor, it's the most intense phase of labor. And I got this from a birthing website. Transition, unlike active labor, is the storm before the calm. It is by far the hardest part of birthing. It is here that a mother's focus might falter. This is a stage where women doubt their ability to birth the baby. They may worry about how long labor will last, how much more intense it will become. There are feelings of being out of control, can feel foggy, averse to distractions, disoriented, and self-doubt may set in. There's a recognition, I think by all of us, that we of Maranatha have been through a time of transition. And there will be natural feelings of pain, loss, feelings and questions of, I wonder if we will ever make it through this. When we feel these feelings, our natural mind will kick in, and we will want to protect ourselves from the discomfort, from the pain, from the uncertainty. That is natural. That is normal. Yet, when we fix our eyes beyond the natural, fix our eyes on the prize of what is to come, we are filled with courage and we are filled with hope. There's a baby coming. I want you to hear that this morning. Eric, you talked over about, Caleb, you talked over Eric and Mel, there's a baby coming. And he said it jokingly. It's true in the spirit. There's a baby coming inside of you too. There's a little bit of discomfort and pain before you get there. But there's something new being birthed. There's something new being birthed here. I want you to know that. You need to know that. It's going to be worth it. This is not all for naught. You see, there's a pregnancy inside of us. There's something that's been seeded within us. And we're not content for it just to stay there. We want it to come out. We want it to be manifest. We want the fullness of it. When you were saved, when you were born again, there was something seated inside of you. Something holy, something precious. And you're not just going to hold on to that seed and die and go to heaven and say your by and bys and all be good. No, you want more. You want more. You want to see that come to fullness. You want to see it grow. You want to see it manifest. You want to see it take shape and come out. You want to see the saving of your soul. Healing, completion inside. The saving of your body. You want to see every sphere of this earth touched by the holy reign of God and transformed into his likeness and what he's intended from the beginning of time. We walk in a tension of carrying an eternal reality, an eternal call inside of us. We can feel it. We can anticipate it. We feel the kicking. But it's not yet fully manifest. It's not yet fully manifest. The main transition we've been through, probably the hardest part, well, I won't say if that's true or not, but we've moved from a primarily pastoral model where we had paid clergy do the work of the ministry into a fivefold model, where the fivefold ministries are to equip the saints, that's all of us, to the work of the ministry. That's a transition, and it brings tension. Foundational tensions we are now facing have to do in primarily these two areas, church government. There's a tension between a temporal earthly realm on one side, heavenly eternal realm on the other, and their authority structures. There's a tension there. Fivefold ministry graces, there's tension between paid clergy doing the work versus all believers being equipped to go out and do the work. There's a tension between the apostolic call, and I'm going to get into that vision, and the pastoral graces. That's okay. These are not unhealthy tensions. In fact, I would go so far as to say we must walk through these tensions in order to see the kingdom manifest, in order to get where we're going. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Okay, so for example, when we deal with the tensions of the primary pastoral grace, which is one of caring, seeing broken hearts and lives healed, shepherding people, nurturing them, and the primary apostolic grace, which is releasing them into their destiny, going out, becoming world changers, it's not about one or the other. We have to have both. We have to. We have to have all fivefold ministry graces equipping the body if we're going to reach our goal. Everyone is needed. What we need to understand in the midst of all this is that the heavenly mission goes far beyond Maranatha. And don't get hung up when I say pastoral and apostolic. I'm going to try to get down to the nuts and bolts of this. But there is an apostolic call on each and every one of us. We are an apostolic people by nature. We are sent ones, called to go out, advance the kingdom. We're part of a much larger vision that includes the whole body of Christ, our community, our region, cultures, nations, other congregations. So what we're essentially talking about when we speak about an apostolic vision and advancing the kingdom of God is advancing the kingdom of God. And you know what? That's going to be uncomfortable. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be church as normal for us as leaders. It's not going to be church as normal for the congregation. Because it's not a small change. It's a whole, oh, what's a big word to use? Paradigm shift. It's a renovation. We're changing the way we do things. I'm not saying we haven't already had some of this understanding. We have. But it's a full-blown renovation that calls us to come out from our comfort zone. Apostolic, to advance, to complete the mission. Pastoral, to occupy, to care for the wounded. Very important we get this. The apostolic keeps the big picture vision in front of us. It challenges us. It encourages us. Step out. There's territory to be taken. We need to go. But you know what? If that territory is not occupied, it is going to revert back to its former form. So we need the pastoral. We need the pastoral to come behind apostolic and care for the people, feed the people, strengthen the people. Bring them up to a place where they're strong and mature. And then we need the apostolic to come back and say, okay, it's time to go. We're not going to sit here forever. Start looking at our bellies. We need to go. There's a mission to accomplish. There's more territory to be taken. It's time to move again. You see how beautiful they'll complement one another? And that's just one example. We need the other fivefolds too. We need it all. We need it all to take ground, to accomplish the mission until his glory covers the earth. Now, this will require us to be in sync with heaven, to see the larger picture from heaven's perspective. And that's not something we can do from a mind level alone. It can't be something where we're just looking from our senses and saying, oh, yeah, I see it now. This is how I'm going to do it. We need to hear from heaven. We need to hear the Father's voice. We need to hear him speak affirmation over us, identity, belonging, because that's where the courage comes from. That's where the security comes from. That's where the authority comes from to step out and accomplish the mission. And it's the last thing. The last thing the enemy wants us to realize. He does not want us to know our true identity as sons and daughters. He does not want us to be united as one body, moving forward together. He doesn't want us advancing against the gates of hell. Well, a time when Christine and I were a little stuck in our lives. And we had what we thought was a really big decision before us at the time, and it was a big decision. And we just could not get clarity. We weighed it out. We talked about it. We looked at all the angles. But we could not get clarity to move forward. And Christine went away on a trip. And I don't even know what she was listening to, but she was listening to something on the radio, someone speaking. And this is all I remember. There was someone who was giving a message, and they used this line, Satan draws circles, God draws lines. And that clicked inside of us. Clicked inside of us. The enemy's got us spinning. He's got us stuck. What's going on? So I just want to talk about this a little bit. Because he does not want us to advance, because he does not want us to be united, because he does not want us to know our identity, he will try to derail us from our calling. He will try to keep us stuck, spinning in circles of our own thoughts, measuring, thinking, figuring out, but never moving forward, never advancing. Judging one another. What is right? What is wrong? What is good and bad? Was that failure? Was that success? Judging with our physical senses. Sharing our opinions of how it could be or how it should be. He wants us to think that we're in a battle against flesh and blood. He wants us to think that we're in a battle over theology. What's the right or wrong way to do it? But we battle not flesh and blood. We battle principalities and powers. And he knows how to get us stuck. He knows how to get a foothold. He's a master at it. He's been fishing for thousands of years, and he knows what bait to use. It's not just one another. When we're driven by our physical senses, when we're stuck in our earthly perspective and measure everything, we start measuring ourselves. We start measuring who qualifies, who does not qualify. We start limiting ourselves. Think, no, I can't do that. I have measured myself, and I felt myself wanting. I've measured you, and I saw what you did, and I found you wanting. So you don't qualify. We get into judgment, accusing, blaming. And at the end of the day, we found that we've been partaking from the knowledge of good and evil from an earthly perspective. The results are simple. The results is this circle that eventually leads to lack of purpose, hopelessness, and can even lead to depression. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, says in Ecclesiastes 2:17, "So I hated my life because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, like a chasing after the wind." You know what? He was right. When we're limited to earth's perspective, that's where we're left. You know what we soon learn? We soon learn, and we've said it, there must be more than I can see. There must be more. And you know, we learn that we can't help people by trying to change them with our own independent knowledge of good and evil. It just doesn't work. They must receive a revelation from heaven of who they are in Christ. They must hear the Father's voice. And they must begin to relate to this earthly realm in which we live out of their heavenly identity that comes from the Father. When we begin to see from the Father's perspective, we start to see ourselves by the Spirit. And it breaks off the limitations. It breaks off the limitations. I will no longer be limited by what I think I can or can't do. I will act based on what the Heavenly Father says about me and who I am. And I will look at you based on what the Heavenly Father says about you and who you are. You see, and the Father reveals this to us. He also reveals that he has an eternal plan. We're not spinning in circles. There is a beginning and there is an end. There is a goal and there is a prize to be won. And he says, come on, let's go. Let's go. Let's go for the prize. Let's reach the goal. And we start moving again. We get out of the futility of the spin. And we say, I am someone. I'm a son and a daughter of the Heavenly Father. And he has put a call in my life. And I'm going to go because it's what I was born for. It's what I was created for, and it's the only thing that will ever bring meaning and hope. Philippians 3, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press towards the goal. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this in mind. And if anything you think of, if any of you, or anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us be of the same mind. We're going somewhere. We're going somewhere together. An apostolic calling does not come from figuring it out on your head. It starts with a cry to our daddy, to our Abba Father. It's a created being calling out to its creator. It's a child calling out to its father. And we receive affirmation, receive purpose, receive direction from heaven and from the Father's voice to go and do what we were created to do. We have courage now. We have security now. And we want to share that love he has shared with us, with those beyond us. When we talk about the fivefold ministry graces or the ascension gift ministries, please hear this. What we're simply talking about, that these are ministries that have learned through revelation something of heaven's perspective on who God is, on who we are in Christ. They are ministries that focus on the things of the Spirit more than the things of the flesh. They minister a righteous consciousness rather than a sin consciousness in the light of the new covenant. Scripture on that, Hebrews 5. For every one of us, for everyone who partakes only of the milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, mature. That is, those who by reason of use have their spiritual senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It must come from heaven. If you are judging good and evil from an earthly perspective, you are going to get yourself in trouble in a hurry. And you are going to get everyone around you in trouble in a hurry. It must come from heaven. For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. In other words, the fivefold are new covenant ministries. Daniel, RJ, others have been talking about what the new covenant is all about. These are new covenant ministries that receive the revelation from heaven rather than from earth. And they use great boldness and great plainness of speech in declaring saints as righteous, not condemned, forgiven, not guilty, accepted, not rejected, sons and daughters, not orphans. The fivefold ministry graces are gifts from heaven, recognized as ones that build up and edify the church, bringing saints to a righteous consciousness rather than tearing down and condemning for their weakness in the flesh. Authority the Lord gave us for building you up rather than tearing you down. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. You know, when we become flesh conscious, when saints become more flesh conscious, doesn't help very much. They already know what they did wrong. And for us to point it out and condemn it and judge it only brings greater focus to it and more shame. And you talk about who they are, who they were created to be from heaven. Solutions. One more thing I just want to note before I want to get into church government. And I might go over by about 10 minutes today. We'll see. When Jesus chose his disciples, they were very broken people. There were zealots, tax collectors, despised by people of this world. They were simple fishermen, and they were known as ignorant and unlearned. These weren't the cream of the crop, picked out by some system of measuring. But Jesus knew there was something inside of them. And his manifest glory was going to shine through from their weakness. And all that greater measure. So he called them to follow him, and they did, and they changed the world. Okay, now I want to get into church government a bit. And the need for us to lay a solid foundation in order to accomplish our mission. Going to try to go through this fairly quickly. This all is, by the way, planting seeds. I really want to have conversation, and I hope to stir something in you that will open that up. As we seek to walk out the kingdom in our unique sphere of Maranatha Neverville, we have entered into another stage of bringing corporate clarity and definition to who we are and our mission moving forward. We have been through a time of renovation, and I believe we have now shifted from a season of primarily deconstruction to a time of construction. This construction stage must be built on a solid foundation which will support the structures to come. First, a quote. When building a new structure in the spirit, it can be necessary to roll in the bulldozer and tear down the old structures, but it is for the purpose of laying a new foundation and building a new, bigger, modern, effective, efficient, more beautiful, etc., structure in the spirit. Why am I talking about foundations this morning? We got structural problems up to here, and we like to talk about them. I like to talk about them, and I want to see them fixed. But we have to have the proper foundation. And we have to come together. We have to come together in order to build these structures in a way that will stand and last. Growing in understanding and entering into the kingdom ways will require us to go deeper in our relationship and hear this through participation, interaction, questions and answers, honest discussion, and corporate seeking and surrender to the headship of Christ. It's going to require us to get involved. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Part of this foundation is a spiritual understanding of the kingdom of God and the tension that exists between the earthly temporal realm in which we live and the eternal heavenly realm which lives inside of us. Okay? Now, some basic principles when talking about the kingdom, and this is very basic, just talking about areas that we're talking about this morning. There's a lot more here. But in the kingdom, the focus is on manifesting God in the whole earth. The whole earth. We're recognizing Jesus as king over all, and that all authority comes from above. We're not escaping from earth. We're bringing heaven to earth. We're not withdrawing, but we're invading every sphere of cultures engaged. In the kingdom, all believers are released to the work of the ministry, not just paid clergy. All of us, every believer is a priest. And it's going to take everyone to get the work done. In the kingdom, the fivefold ministry, equips the saints to do the work of the ministry instead of doing the work of the ministry themselves. Now, I just want to touch on something real quick. We're so used to an old pastoral model where we hired people to do it, and it's so stuck in our thinking that it's hard for us to transition even to what we're talking about here. We'll so easily just replace one person for five people. And now the fivefold ministry is going to do it. No, they're not. We are going to do it. The fivefold ministry equips. And the fivefold ministry is not five people. The fivefold ministry gifts is all over this room. And we're going to equip one another to get it done. Challenge one another to go out. Care for one another when we're hurting. That's how it's going to get done. Okay, where are we? Okay, I want to say, first of all, this is not the way our culture thinks. This is foreign to the natural mind. This is upside-down kingdom. Okay? A cultural path. Because we need to hear from that Heavenly Father voice. We need security to do things. That's a God-given need. But if we base that security on the wrong thing, we're going to go the wrong direction. So the cultural path says that we need security. We need to know where we're going. We need to know how we're going to get there. And they're right. They're right. But if it stays just earthly, it looks something like this. We collect information. We process the information to gain understanding. That leads to programs. And we are in control. We have a sense of security. We want to know where we're going and how we're going to get there. In the kingdom, it begins with surrender to God. It says, I don't know how to get there, God. But I know you do. Will you teach me? Will you help me? And it leads to security, not in a plan, but in the person of Jesus Christ. And we hear his voice speak to us. And we're filled with direction, and it provides us with courage. Courage to go and get it done. Underlying principles in the kingdom path are being spiritually rooted. We can only go as wide, only have effective ministry, as we're willing to go deep with the Heavenly Father. Okay, so this is all about laying a solid foundation for stable structures here at Maranatha. We have this tension between the earthly temporal realm and the eternal heavenly realm, between temporal authority and the civil government, eternal authority of King Jesus reigning supreme. Now, someone pointed this out to me, and I just want to make a quick little talk, because it's very easy when we look at something like this to see, okay, we got the earthly and that's the bad, and we got the heavenly, and that's the good. Not so. These live in tension. God created the earth. It's full of his beauty. It's full of his character. He sets up kings. He puts governments in place. They're from him. They're from heaven. Even though this world is fallen and marred, it has his glory. He created it, and he's going to restore it. A new heaven and a new earth to be full of his glory. It's not an evil, it's not a bad. Something to be treasured, something beautiful that he has made. If we get into the good and bad, we get into extremes. And there's extremes on both sides. On the earthly side, earth disconnected from heaven, we start relying on human reason, we're independent, rely on human strength, we exalt the mind, and our mind is focused on the five senses, on earthly things. If we get into extreme on the other side, disconnect from earth, just think about heaven, we can over-spiritualize things. We can withdraw from the world instead of impact it. Our spirit can come divorced from our mind. God gave us a mind, and it's a beautiful thing, and he's called us to use it. Don't hear anything different from what I'm saying. I'm just saying it has to come from a bigger place than just us. We can get into a theology of escapism from the earth. What we're called to is bring heaven to earth. As it is in heaven, so may it be on the earth. That's the kingdom path. That's the journey we have to walk. He has deposited heaven inside of us, and he's called us to be instruments of transformation, bringing about restoration of all that has been lost. God's plan is to use the church to fill every authority structure, every sphere, with his presence, with his peace, and his love. And he has placed us here on earth with heaven inside us, just waiting to burst forth. Actually, in some ways, this picture would be better if these were together in a big circle and heaven was on the inside and it was coming out and it was taking over, growing all things. This is easier to understand for my other purposes, though. Okay. So, how does this look? We're agents of transformation. We're intercessors. We pray for our government even when we do not agree with them. That's what we're called to. We utilize heavenly weapons to invade, to infiltrate, to impact the earth. Not weapons of judgment and accusation. Weapons of forgiveness, love, honor, respect, submission to authority. And that results and transformation of the atmosphere. That is bringing heaven to earth. When we talk about being an apostolic people, we are sent out to go further. We're meant to be an equipping base, where the fivefold ministries equip the saints to advance, to take and occupy ground. So heaven's realm starts taking over earth. And here's just a few scriptures. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. Occupy, do business until I come. As the Father has sent me from heaven to earth, even so I send you. Now we're going to get down a little bit to the practical side of how this information impacts us in our here and now. Maranatha is a legal entity under authority of the government of Canada. Maranatha is the Bride of Christ under authority of Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Both are true, and we live in attention. We need to recognize that insofar as the civil government does not require us to go against the gospel and the word of Jesus Christ, we are called to submit to it and to come under its authority. And that's a tension that we're called to walk out in the here and now. So, we have the board of directors. And the board of directors are responsible before God to our civil government in the earthly realm. They are representatives of a legal entity according to the laws of the land. They are elected by church members. Here are some of the roles and responsibilities from our constitution. And I haven't put all of it down because it was too much to put on here. but I put a few of them down. The directors are put into office by a vote of church members. They are responsible to act in good faith in the best interest of the corporation. They are a distinct legal entity, and no member of the board of directors will receive financial benefit. So those are just a few of the things that gives you a feel of what the board of directors are responsible for. The leadership is responsible for God in the heavenly realm. Responsible for God in the heavenly realm. To be worked out in the earthly. These are not separated. These need to come together. They are recognized by what they carry from heaven, and they are not elected. Leadership is responsible for God in the heavenly realm. Some of our things from our Constitution, points. They are concerned with spiritual oversight, undergirding of ministries, spiritual direction, encouraging the involvement of the congregation. They should have demonstrated ability to teach the word that equips the saints to the work of the ministry. Ephesians 4, you know this passage well, but let me read it anyways. That to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure, first of all, to each one of us. Grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the experiential knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We need to remember again, when we talk about the kingdom of God, it does not operate like the kingdom of this age. It is under the covering and the headship of Jesus Christ. He ascended on high. He gave gifts. These ministries seek to share God's truth without the fear or favor of man. And they're called to edify, strengthen, and build up Christian lives, so that the kingdom advances. This is something that becomes recognized as having its source in heaven and not from man. And that's why it's not a voting matter. It's a heavenly matter. And it's recognized by the body. It's recognized from heaven. More on leadership from our Constitution. The essential mark of true leadership: to lead by example, to be role models, caring, serving, showing hospitality. And I'll read this last paragraph. The goal is to recognize more faithful leaders. The goal is to recognize more faithful leaders, more emerging leaders. This is not a static thing. This is not a group and they're it. It's always to grow, to take in more, to advance more, to equip more. Who in turn can teach others, role model the gospel in a way that more people will see the light of the gospel, have their minds renewed. This is not something that can be established by congregational vote, and only as saints step out in willing obedience will it be recognized. If leadership, directors, or members fall into an error that diminishes rather than expands the kingdom and become hardened in that, there's a spiritual rather than a political process to deal with that. And that is to first go to the offending brother or sister directly. If they will not hear you, take it to 2, 3, or 4 trusted elders on the leadership team. And if the party does not listen to them, it is taken to the next level, to the members of the congregation, If they will not listen to the congregation, they can be removed from office or from membership. Matthew 18. The intention in this is always, always restoration. This is not a political process. This is a spiritual process where we want to see brothers in Christ restored to their heavenly calling. We see heaven in them. In my own journey in leadership, I found this to be a place where I can speak in openly, where I can disagree, where I can share my weakness and my doubts, and I can work things through. It's been a safe place, and I can't tell you how thankful I've been for that. God knew the brokenness in me, where I was coming from, of not feeling safe. And he gave me a safe place to work it out, to be built up, people to see what was inside of me. Call me forth. Let's go. The direction of our team has been one of greater openness, transparency, freedom, healing, and restoration. It's true. When we get together, we hear one another. We're vulnerable. We disagree. We go to deep places. And because of that, it becomes increasingly difficult for hidden agendas to take a foothold and to grab on. Because we invite in the whole counsel of God, we measure one another, we exhort one another, we call each other out and call each other forth and build each other up. There's a balance and then an errant corrective measure by having a team where it's not one person who makes the calls. And we've experienced that. And there is a mechanism in place. If there should become a problem where someone goes off on a tangent and goes off in the wrong direction, to bring correction. And that is true for the leadership, it's true for the board of directors, it's true for the membership at large. And it's a spiritual corrective measure that needs to be walked out the way we're called to in the Word. Wow, I might not go 10 minutes. Yeah, I probably will, another 5 minutes. Okay. If we want to take ground in the Spirit, it will require us to move corporately, taking and occupying territory together and seeing one another by the Spirit. You do not know how blessed I am by our board of trustees, our board of directors, as we're calling them now. Because we're walking together. We're walking together to accomplish the establishment of God's kingdom here on earth. We want to walk together as a whole congregation in this. Because God is building a building that's not built with human hands. It's built by Him. He puts the parts together. Each one is welcome and needed. And we need to learn to see each other from heaven's perspective, extending mercy, grace, and forgiveness. 2 Corinthians 10:8 says, "The authority the Lord gave us is for building you up rather than tearing you down." Authority we have been given for building up rather than tearing down. When Caleb spoke, I don't remember if it was last week or two Sundays ago, he talked about his and Megan's fight. Do you guys remember this? And he talked about a revelation, an aha moment. And his aha moment was this, when he was asking about, so how did it go or who won? I can't remember what the question was, but I remember the answer that came. And the answer was, we won. We won. I just want to say, and this is not a heavy. Glenn asked me this morning. So, are we using the hammer or the scalpel? Something like that. This is not a hammer. I love you guys. I really, really do with all my heart. And just like Christine is not going to win an argument in our life, or I'm going to win it, and we're going to move forward in our marriage, we're not going to win as a church by coming up with this side having all the answers or that side having all the answers. Either we are going to win together or we are going to lose together. We as Maranatha are not going to win on our own. Either we're going to win as the body of Christ or we're going to lose. Either we as the body of Christ is going to win in Neverville or we're going to lose. And I believe that we are winning. And we are moving forward. And I'm excited about it. Okay. There are two documents that are available to you this morning. One is called Laying a Solid Foundation of Church Government for a Stable Structure at Maranatha. And the other one is called My Present Perspective, A Journey of Faith with Fellow Pilgrims, written by Roger Armbruster. I want to encourage you to pick some of those up. They're available at the back from the ushers if you want to go deeper in these areas. And you want to invite God just to stir things up. And I want to invite you not to take everything I said as that's the way it is. I'm trying to open up a conversation. I'm trying to say, let's go before the Lord with us. Let's seek him out. Let's talk together. Let's ask for his revelation on this. There's an extended leadership meeting on tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock in the church library. And the extended leadership meeting has been for all those involved in church ministry. Whether you're involved as an usher or Sunday school teacher, you have a responsibility. And that's why I've always sent out invitations to come to that, to talk about what's going on in the church. But you know what? That's the vast majority of the congregation. And if you're invested here and want to move forward, you're welcome to come to that. All we're going to do is talk about this tomorrow evening. Hear one another out. I'm going to be quiet as much as possible and hear you talk. And then we're going to have a congregational meeting next week. And we don't have an agenda of what we're going to accomplish. All we're going to do is talk and share. We do have some ideas, even as how we move forward with electing our board of trustees, our board of directors. I keep calling trustees since they're directors. I know that's a new name. And we would like to bring forth the proposal of putting a nominations team forward. That's a nominations team that comes from outside of leadership or the BOD to nominate people to be on the BOD and have a mechanism for how they are voted into office. We'd like to talk about that. We'd like to talk about it together. And what else was I going to say? I feel like I'm missing something. Oh, Ian Oliver. Ian Oliver, who was mentioned earlier in the service, he will be with us. He'll be meeting with us as leadership Tuesday morning. Then we're having the staff and the BOD join us Tuesday evening to meet with him. And then Wednesday evening, he's going to come and speak to the whole congregation. And it's been interesting because Ian Oliver has just kind of showed up at crucial times in our history in the past. Not out of invitation. He just showed up. Was just there. And again, he made a phone call and said, hey, I'm going to be in Regina, and I'm going to be in that area. I would like to come and visit him with you and talk again. Will this be a good time? And this happens to be the time it is. So he has spoken some prophetic words over this church, dating back over 20 years ago. He came again a couple years ago, and he's here now. And some of those prophetic words from 20-some years ago are in your bulletin. So read those if you would like. And you're welcome to come and be here on Wednesday evening and hear what Ian would have to say to us as well. I think that's it. I think I managed to finish about 10 after 12 here. Bless you. Love you. Let's keep this conversation going. We're moving. We're moving to a destination, to a goal, and there will be a prize. Amen. Amen.